Always a privilege to be able to play with them, and they put up with me. If you like the music, come on New Year's Eve, because it will be that and a whole lot more. For those of you that don't know, on New Year's Eve, we invite all of those who have been musicians that play for us throughout the year, and they come, and basically, we just have a good time. Y'all eat and enjoy it or whatever, but we just jam. We have a good time. So everybody seems to like it real well, and we even get old Bill all tuned up, and he does real good on that banjo. Huh? Yes, I did talk with Dr. Hager, and he will be here. The fiddle maestro will be here. So we look forward to that. Some of you don't know him. He's one of the optometrists and eye surgeon. He was trained as a concert violinist, and he does that real well. And I asked him last year, I said, well, do you play any by ear, or you just do the orchestra stuff? And he goes, well, I'm working on it. He worked on it real well, didn't he, Pete? Yeah. I will tell you, they never heard playing like that in Carnegie Hall, so... But we had a lot of fun, and it was really good. So this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua in the Old Testament. We have a time here that we honor our veterans, but we also look at all the things that, as we say, we've had an election in our nation. Regardless of what spectrum you were on it, it was a time that, unfortunately, in our nation, that it was very divided. It wasn't the warfare that we think of with guns and bullets, but there sure was a plenty of words spoken there that were back and forth, and let's just say it wasn't civil discourse. Maybe that's the best way to put it. What I will say is I am very thankful by what I have seen thus far that President Biden welcomed President Trump-elect to the White House. And in his speech, he also said, folks, everything is going to be okay. This democracy, and that, to me, is the hand of God. No matter who's elected, our forefathers, and God has allowed this democracy for the ups and the downs, the good, the not so good, whatever it may be, to always survive. And the American people, the greatest thing I saw in this election was the faith that came out, the people praying long before the election took place. And again, regardless of the political persuasion, most of all, at least in my heart, is I wanted to see us be a godly nation. And so that time has come, but there also has to be a time of healing and a time of unity. Our country will not survive. It is no different, as our Lord speaks in Matthew. He says, a house divided cannot stand. We have all sorts of events going on around our world, wars. Thankfully, it's not an actual war on our lands, but there are several going throughout the world at this time. There are several that they may not be on the news media's radar, but they're still occurring, persecutions and heartaches in lands and the devastation that one man can cause to another. What I do know is that as well, you and I, we talk about veterans, and I mean no way to take away from those who have served our nation, because that is a calling. Some end up making a career out of it, and we need those people. But you and I, as Christians, are called into the army of God. We, too, are veterans. And just as our veterans go to warfare every day, you and I are part of warfare, as Paul tells us, not of flesh and blood, but of powers and principalities. And so just as we pray for our military, our folks that are in the military, and our those who serve us, never forget to pray for one another. As you've heard the prayer request this morning, there is plenty of warfare on every front, whether it's from a disease or from family or economics or whatever it may be. The root cause, what we find out is, and even in our political division, is men get prideful. And sometimes we also fear to ask for help and for prayers, even if it's for yourself. And they may say, and there's nothing wrong with asking for prayers of yourself. Every one of us needs that, and we need that support. And so this morning, Miss Marilyn is not here. I know she had planned, but she sent me this. Before I read the scripture, I want to share with you. Her brother, David H. Yeager, is a doctor, but he retired from the military as a lieutenant colonel with the medical staff, and his grandson penned this letter here. And I want you, as we honor veterans, I think it's very applicable. It says, "The life of a surgeon in Vietnam War. My grandfather, Lieutenant Colonel David H. Yeager, M.D., knew from the time he was in high school that he wanted to join the military. He also knew he wanted to be a doctor. These two dreams led him on an adventure that helped him appreciate life and changed his perspective of the world. In 1957, my grandfather enrolled in college at the Virginia Military Institute for the opportunity to go to school at VMI. He knew that after graduation, he would be required to serve in the Army for at least 2 years. He was commissioned in the U.S. Army in 1961 as a second lieutenant, and upon graduation, he was able to go into the reserves until he finished the medical and surgical training. While finishing his training in residency at the Medical University of South Carolina, in 1970, my grandfather got a phone call that changed his life. He was standing at a nurse's station, and he received a call directly from Colonel Kyle at the Pentagon telling him that he was going to Vietnam as a surgeon. The Army desperately needed surgeons to help during the war. My grandfather said he still remembers shaking when he heard that news. By June of 1970, my grandfather was stationed, and I'm probably going to hack this up, stationed at the Quy Nhon Military Field Hospital in Vietnam. There were 6 surgeons and 6 operating rooms. There were so many injured soldiers that they would average 5 to 6 surgeries a day per surgeon. One time at a gruesome battle, 75 patients were delivered to the hospital at one time. They lined them up from the most critical to the least critical and operated for 7 days straight. My grandfather only stopped working for short periods of time to sleep right outside the operating room and then was woke up and went right back to work. They lived and worked in very difficult conditions. While running low on equipment and resources, my grandfather also knew in the back of his mind that he could be injured or killed at any time. The hospital ran low on blood supplies. One day, my grandfather climbed on the hospital table himself and gave his own blood to give to his patients. He also remembered a time when he heard loud explosions coming very close to the hospital. The Viet Cong had bombed a weapons storage facility near the hospital. This caused all the bombs and ammunition to begin to explode, and it lasted for 24 hours. My grandfather recalls having to take shelter under his bunk on the hard concrete floor for almost an entire day. Priority for the surgeons was active duty soldiers, civilians, and then occasionally they would operate on the enemy too. My grandfather told me at the time when he completed surgery on a Viet Cong soldier and saved his life, but then the soldier attacked the nurse and tried tried to eat her arm. While deployed during Vietnam War, my grandfather read the Bible about the history of wars and the predictions of wars to come. He thought to himself that even if your side wins, you've lost. War affects everyone negatively. No one is better off having gone through a war, and there has to be a better way to resolve differences. His experience as a surgeon during the Vietnam War made him realize how harsh the world can be and its effects. It has affected him for the rest of his life. He put many more years in of service to his country and retired in 1998 as a lieutenant colonel at the Wilford Hall Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas. The story of one soldier. But as you read through that, you noticed of all of the horrors that he sees man, and we understand that the horrors of man and out of its heart comes from the sin that was given back to man as we disobeyed our Heavenly Father. But you noticed also he read on a daily basis through the Bible. He is not alone. I have had the opportunity to talk to one of the soldiers who was one of the Marines that raised the flag on Iwo Jima, and as well as others who have served both in World War II and Korea, Vietnam, and our latest ones that have taken place. And each one of them said, "I didn't go in to battle as a believer in Jesus Christ, but I came out as one." And so we all fight those struggles. Many of you are going through struggles today. Struggles in our personal lives, struggles in our community, our state, and our nation, and around the world. And yes, our Lord does say, He reminds us that there is wars, there has been, there will, and there is, and there will be. And finally, there one day there will be the ultimate war. And we believe by God's word that you and I who know the Lord very thankfully will be raptured out before that takes place. We will not have to endure it. But the life that we live today, and as we fight our battles against the powers and principalities on every front. You know, one of the reasons I know I told Pete we needed to do the Stand By Me. And of course, I knew what the message was, but not only for that reason, but can you imagine trying to fight those battles without God on your side? Without the comfort of the Holy Spirit? See, no matter what we go through, God is there with us always. He is the promise keeper. He never fails to uphold His end. Of all of the promises that He has made, He is faithful. In Joshua chapter 1, I want you to look, and of course He gave this to Joshua in the days that they would conquer and have the lands that God had promised them. He never promised an easy road. But Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We can never run away. No matter where we go, God is there. He's already been there. No matter what we do, He is aware of it. He knows us inside and out. Scripture tells us that He knew us even before we were born and in our mother's womb, and He has plans for each one of us. As we look at one another, and this is a time of, yes, be strong, do not be dismayed, be of good courage, but a time of unity. Turn, if you will, over to 1 Timothy for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 2. read this previously not too long ago, and it was talking about leaders. I'm going to reread that, but I'm going to come down to where it talks to each one of us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." If you have a neighbor, if you have a boss, if you have a family member or something that you're having difficulty with, whatever that may be, not taking sides, it says that you and I should have supplications, prayers, and intercessions. Folks, we've just gone through the most divided part of this country short of the Civil War that took place. When you read the annuals of history, the divisions that we saw in this election, the split of people, the anger, not debate, but it was venom being spewed out. The only place you find that in American history, it was prior to the Civil War. But the same type of division. That's why history calls it was the war of brother against brother. It split families. And it says that all men, so those who we have aught with, for whatever that may be, it is mine and your responsibility as a Christian, by God's commandment, is that we should pray and intercede for those. I have seen this work, folks. I have seen God change men's minds and their actions just by praying. And it does something for you, the prayer also. You'll be surprised how your perspective will also soften and open. He says, for kings, which we talked about previously, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. I'll not go back to that same message. But then he gives us a promise here. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's one of those attaboys. One of those times that we know we are doing exactly what God has asked us to do. And he continues, he says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not a single person does God want to leave out. I know there's times that you and I look at some people and we go, I don't know how God could love that person. And then I'm reminded real quick, yeah, well, he loved you too, Stacy. So suck it up. That isn't what we were commanded to do. In fact, we're told not to judge, but we are to pray and intercede. You and I are not going to see eye to eye. Brother Bill, I'm going to pick on you. Brother Bill and I are friends, close friends. We do not agree on everything, but we do not let it affect our relationship, because I have a deeper bond with him than some political deal. Politics may affect our entire world, but it does not affect mine and his relationship. And I know there's families that are broken over politics. It doesn't mean a rat. There ain't no politics in heaven. It's a one-on-one conversation with you and the Creator. It don't matter what party you belong to. It don't matter how you voted. It don't matter about nothing. It's all about you and whether or not you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And folks, if we want to see this nation prosper, we better grab hold of that. He continues on here and he says, For there is one God, in verse 5, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I got to thinking about that verse. There's one mediator. There's only one who can stand between us and the righteous Father on Judgment Day. And I got to thinking about that you and I, it tells us in Genesis that God looked and God made man, and He and the Son and the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our image. So no matter how much you dislike that person, I got news for you, and you better grab hold of the fact that is the image of God, just like you're the image of God. And when we destroy others, we destroy ourselves. If we hold hard feelings and criticize others, I have news for you. We're destroying ourselves. We destroy our heart and our inner peace, our relationship with the Lord. Jesus gave us in the model prayer, He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He also tells us that mercy is given, and more mercy is given to those who require it more. In everyday language, the heavy sinner has to have more mercy than the light sinner. But all of us got to have mercy. And we should show mercy if we're reflecting Jesus Christ ourselves. Notice He said that Jesus gave Himself as a ransom for all, every single one of us. Greatest thing about that cross, we're all level across the board. There's no king, there's no pauper. There's no male, there's no female, there's no adult, no child. We are all level. No one's better than another. There is but one, Jesus Christ, our mediator. So as you look forward to the days and the week and the forward to the days ahead and the weeks ahead, at all levels, and I myself, just as we've talked about praying for our nation, also want to pray not only for those who lead, but for each one of us. That we comprehend, and again, just as I told you prior to the election, not about who to vote for, but it's up to you and I as Christians. We are to be the leaders. If we want to have godly leaders, we need to lead. We need to lead, number one, on our knees. And we need to, if we want to see our nation healed and for unity among all people and back to a point where if we can disagree, just like Bill and I, we can talk about it. We don't get mad at each other. We just discuss it. Just a discourse. And that's the way it should be. It doesn't affect our relationship. We have to employ these things right here. Why? Because of Joshua 1:9. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, God says He will be there with us. 100%. But we are to pray for all men, regardless of who they are, where they are, what nationality, what persuasion, what. It doesn't matter. Jesus Christ went to all. That's why we're all level at the cross. And I will tell you, when you find, yes, it's difficult, but like anything else, the more you practice it, the easier it begins to get. And suddenly you start looking forward to, you know what, buddy, I'm going to pray for you. And if the fact is that you're a wayward way, God's going to be after you and spanking your butt. And I've been there and don't want that spanking no more. So I'm going to pray for you, not only that God turns you, but God gives you comfort after He paddled your butt. Y'all are in here giggling because some of you had that butt paddling, hadn't you? Tain't no fun. You know, there's certain people always know the right buttons to push. God knows the right button every time. But thank Him for His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for all. Thank Him that He has shown us mercy and grace rather than what we deserve. I invite you to show your neighbor some mercy and some grace. And I invite you to pray for them, as well as our leaders, regardless of how you voted. The votes have been cast. It's there. God says we honor Him by voting for them. He can change minds. He can change lives. He does it every single day. Our job is to intercede on their behalf and let His Holy Spirit do its work. I invite you to bow your head in prayer.